For 30 and 40 degrees here in Moorhead, this is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
Last year we won by 8 points, and this year we increased that margin to 164 points.
The Rowan County High School speech team took home a state championship.
Medical waste is causing problems in Lexington.
A rural health bill passed a House committee yesterday.
Republicans are trying to block the reorganization of the state school board.
The first charter school application in Kentucky has been rejected.
In sports, district tournament action continues tonight in the 16th region.
But Luke has a stock report.
Rain and snow showers tonight with a low around 25. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
The Rowan County High School speech team has taken home another state trophy. The team placed first by a margin of over 160 points at the Kentucky Educational Speech and Debate Association state tournament, February 20th through the 22nd. Head coach Kimberly Reeder says the team brought home 6 first place wins in addition to winning first overall.
We had state champions in duo interpretation, which is a pair of 2 individuals working together. And then we also had first place in a group interpretation, which was 5 students all working together. And then we had individual first place state champions in impromptu speaking, informative speaking, storytelling, and prose.
Other than the first place wins, Reeder says 26 entries from the team placed in the top 6 for their respective events. Reeder says the team is now preparing for 3 more upcoming tournaments, 2 of which could allow students to qualify for national tournaments and 1 more state tournament. All will take place in March.
The University of Pikeville hosted the Kentucky Forensics Association State Championship Tournament this past weekend. Students from all over Kentucky traveled to UPike to be evaluated on their public speaking. Organizers said having the tournament at different schools will give those foreign to the region a unique experience. A student from UPike, Alexandria Alexis, tells WYMT there are many moving parts to the tournament.
I know it looks chaotic, but I promise you everything's going the way it's supposed to. So we can do storytelling, tell poetry. Public speaking is something a lot of people fear the most, but with speech and debate, we thrive off of it.
The tournament wrapped up Saturday night with an awards ceremony.
The presence of medical waste is causing serious problems at Lexington's Recycling Center. Individuals leaving medical waste in their recycling is resulting in recyclable material now having to be sent to the landfill due to contamination. Angela Poe is the Lexington Department of Environmental Quality and Public Works Senior Program Manager. She tells LEX 18 the waste is putting the center staff at risk.
It's a really important issue here for us. We have had employees that have been stuck by needles, and then they have to go through all the treatment to make sure that they don't contract anything from that exposure. And, you know, we just want to keep everybody safe, and we want to keep the recycle center running efficiently.
Poe asks individuals disposing of needles to place them in a container with a lid, such as a coffee can or an empty bottle of detergent.
Fayette Mall announced Wednesday that it will begin enforcing a, quote, youth escort policy, requiring mall visitors under the age of 18 to be accompanied by an adult during certain nights of the week. WMKY's Rachel Turner has more.
The youth escort policy will be enforced beginning March 20th. According to LEX 18, the policy requires all juveniles to be accompanied by a parent or guardian who is 21 or older on Friday and Saturday nights after 4 p.m. Spokesman says that the rule is intended to curtail the rising number of unsupervised youths hanging out at Fayette Mall and related disturbances. The policy does not extend to teens who work at the mall. They will be issued identification that indicates their employment. For WMKY News, I'm Rachel Turner.
A family on the front lines of marijuana legalization in Kentucky is feeling a small victory as House Bill 136 makes its way to the Senate. The Byrd family has seen firsthand what it could mean for people suffering from certain chronic conditions, like their son, who was diagnosed with Charles syndrome when only a few months old. The family moved to Colorado in 2013 after learning about a young girl with a similar condition who found treatment. WKYT has Eric Byrd's 2014 testimony in the House.
This is the choice that we have in Kentucky, to leave our family, our churches, our careers, to leave a life I've known for 35 years. Since we've been in Colorado, his seizures, as I said, went from, on average, 20 to 30 a week. We're seeing about 10.
The family moved back after Governor Beshear signed a bill allowing CBD oils to be shipped into the state, but the cost for the family has been thousands. The Byrds hope lawmakers will vote to make products like that more easily accessible for families like theirs.
A bill aimed at protecting rural health care in Kentucky by creating a loan program to assist financially struggling hospitals cleared a House committee Tuesday. Hospitals situated in counties with fewer than 50,000 people would be eligible for the loans. The State Economic Development Cabinet would administer the loan program. House Bill 387 sailed through the House Appropriations and Revenue Committee without any opposition. The measure was introduced following the recent announcement that Our Lady of Belfont Hospital in northeastern Kentucky will close later this year. The bill doesn't designate an amount of money to start the loan program that will be determined by lawmakers later in the session. Under the bill, hospitals receiving the loans could use the money on facilities, staffing, or to expand medical services. The bill now goes to the full House for consideration.
Republicans upset about the new Kentucky governor's overhaul of the state school board responded Tuesday with a bill that would block similar reorganizations in the future. WMKY's Sarah Fashipe has more.
The bill would ensure political gender and racial diversity on the board that oversees Kentucky's K-12 education system. The legislation calls for proportional representation among Democrats and Republicans on state school board based on the voter registration numbers. On his first day in office, Democratic Governor Andy Beshear disbanded and then recreated the Kentucky Board of Education. All of the governor's appointees were Democrats, which drew the ire of Republican lawmakers. Under the new bill, Beshear's appointees would lose their seats but could be reconsidered for reappointment if the measure becomes law. For WMKY News, I'm Sarah Fashion.
Kentucky lawmakers advanced legislation last week that would reform how the state provides cash, food assistance, and certain Medicaid benefits to low-income Kentuckians. The bill would require beneficiaries to use one single electronic benefit transfer card for all benefit programs and would include penalties for selling or otherwise misusing the card. Kristen Arendt with Mental Health America says the legislation could cut off families who need cash to pay for rent, transportation, or a babysitter.
What we know about families is that anytime they are punished and cut off from access to vital resources, they stay in perpetual poverty.
The bill is now heading to the Senate for consideration.
The first charter school application in Kentucky has been rejected for a second time. As WUKY's Josh James reports, the State Board of Education upheld a decision denying the applicants the ability to move forward with an alternative school in Newport.
The State Board agreed with a December decision by the Newport Independent Schools Board, turning down the application submitted by a group of Northern Kentucky parents. The parents are seeking to open a charter school dubbed River Cities Academy, but the local board questioned the applicant's knowledge of state academic standards. The Courier-Journal reports the state board is pointing to the school's lack of a steady source of funding. The General Assembly set up a system for the introduction of charter schools in the state in 2017, but the initiative has languished without an official funding mechanism. In their appeal, the charter applicants had claimed the application process is biased. That allegation was not taken up by the State Education Board. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Art Center, presenting the Moorhead Antique and Art Market March 6th and 7th at the Moorhead Conference Center. Vendors from Kentucky, Ohio, and West Virginia, juried art market and professional appraisers, 5 to 9 p.m. on Friday, March 6th, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, March 7th. The Moorhead Antique and Art Market, March 6th and 7th at the Moorhead Conference Center in downtown Moorhead.
The search for a missing Scott County woman appears to have led to police discovering her body in a storage unit. Authorities obtained a warrant to search the facility after Sheena Baxter's ex-boyfriend, 35-year-old Joseph Hicks, was indicted for murder yesterday. Even if they hadn't found the body, Commonwealth's attorney Sharon Muse says there was, quote, overwhelming evidence for the murder charge.
I don't feel at all that we need a body other than obviously for the family, but for the case, that's not a concern for us.
The Madison County coroner has not released any details about the case, and positive identification is pending an autopsy today in Frankfort.
An escaped McCracken County inmate is in custody after leading authorities on a 30-mile high-speed chase Tuesday. Floyd County Sheriff's says deputies arrested Daniel Bell after receiving a tip that led them to a double quick in Prestonsburg. Hunt tells WYMT that Bell then sped away and led them on a 30-mile chase that ended in Paintsville.
The speeds had varied from 100 miles an hour down to 30 or 40. He did try several times to ram us. He was obviously in the wrong lane at several times throughout the pursuit, endangering other people.
After Bell was stopped, officers found multiple stolen guns along with several sets of keys, drugs, and money inside the car. Hunt says Bell will be facing several wanton endangerment charges along with stolen property and drug charges.
Police arrested a teacher at Russell Middle School today, school authorities said in a statement signed by Superintendent Sean Horn. The teacher is no longer employed by the school and will not be permitted to return to district property, the statement said. Contacted by telephone, Horn would not identify the teacher. Police have been unavailable to specify charges against the teacher, and Horn would not say what the charges are. The Daily Independent reports that charges are related to, quote, inappropriate behavior involving students. Horn was meeting with police and middle school staffers Wednesday. He declined to provide further details and would not say how the allegations surfaced.
A Kay Jewelers store at Fayette Mall had more than $40,000 of merchandise stolen last month. Surveillance videos show two unidentified men stealing from the store without raising any attention toward themselves. Detective Mark Thomas tells LAX 18 the duo worked together smoothly, and this is most likely not their first heist.
He literally crouches down behind her and then reaches in and just in a split second is able to grab that. You know, these are guys that are probably going to be working in tandem together that have done this several times. And my guess is they're probably not going to be locals.
To report information about the criminals anonymously, call the Crime Stoppers tip line at 859-253-2020.
And now taking a look at your region's weather. Tonight, 60% chance of rain and snow showers, but otherwise cloudy with a low around 25. Thursday, cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high near 34. Thursday night, increasing clouds with a low around 25. Friday, 50% chance of rain and snow, otherwise mostly cloudy with a high near 38. Friday night, 40% chance of rain and snow, cloudy, then gradually becoming partly cloudy with a low around 21. And now taking a look at some of the current temperatures in the WMKY listening area. It's currently 37 degrees in Lexington, 39 degrees in Winchester and Mount Sterling, 44 degrees in Ashland and Inez, 43 degrees in Grayson, and it's 40 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, Morehead State University's registered nurse to Bachelor's of Science in Nursing program received national ranking. WMKY's Sarah Mead has the story.
Morehead State University's RN to BSN program has been nationally ranked by nursingprocess.org. Out of 169 accredited programs in the Southeast region, MSU was ranked in the top five. Dr. Lynn Parson is the department chair for MSU's Department of Nursing. She says the combination of quality and flexibility is part of the program's appeal.
We're geared toward working students. We don't require them to come to campus. And the students take the course at their own pace.
The program trains students with the knowledge, skills, and professional attitude that help take nursing careers to the next level. Parsons says the RN to BSN program is for students that are already registered nurses and have their associate's degree and want to attain their BSN degree.
It is 100% online, so the working RN can stay focused, stay at work,
full-time and go to school while simultaneously, more often than not, taking care of a family too.
Though the course is online-based, Parsons says students still possess the hands-on skills required.
They already have the clinical skills they need because they're already licensed. So they come here to get that advanced contact. And there's like a practicum course they take where they get some hands-on experience.
Parsons says students are drawn to the curriculum aspect because it's taught in 8-week semesters.
That is really student-friendly to the working RN. They can take, you know, maybe a couple courses in an 8-week session if they're really organized. And then in the second half of the semester, take another 2 classes so they can get out of school in a very reasonable amount of time.
Morehead was also ranked as one of the top online RN to BSN programs in Kentucky in 2019 by registerednursing.org. For WMKY News, I'm Sarah Mead.
It's 4:46 and 40 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Nacogdoches Miller, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this rainy Wednesday afternoon. We'll have a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
District action continues tonight across the 16th region. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. The 64th District Girls Championship will be decided this evening in Boyd County. Ashland Blazer will face off with Boyd County after the Lady Lions got the first round bye. The teams traded wins when they met during regular season play. Tip-off at Boyd County Middle School is set for 7 p.m. In boys action tonight, Elliott County faces East Carter in the first round of the 62nd District Tournament. The Raiders won both regular season games against the Lions. Tip-off in Sandy Hook is set for 7 p.m. Finally, Russell and Raceland meet in the first round of the 63rd District Tournament tonight. The Red Devils and the Rams traded wins in regular season. Tip-off tonight at Greenup County is set for 7 p.m. We'll have scores from all of tonight's games tomorrow on Morning Edition. The Rowan County boys basketball team is on the practice court this afternoon as they gear up for the 61st District Championship game on Thursday night. The Vikings will face off with Bath County, a team Rowan beat twice during the regular season. Head coach Sean Thacker says his team has some work to do before that matchup.
We just lick our wounds here a little bit. You know, we're a little banged up. Still got a couple kids to get back off concussion protocol. And, you know, Tyler Gamber wasn't with us tonight, you know, so... You know, we're down 2 or 3 soldiers, but, you know, next man up. I thought I got pretty good solid minutes off my bench.
Tip-off tomorrow at Bath County High School is set for 8:15 p.m. The Rowan County girls basketball team is hoping to win their first district championship since the 2016 season on Thursday. The Vikings face off for the third time this season with Menifee. Rowan won the 2 regular season games, 1 at home and 1 at Menifee. Head coach Matt Stokes says his team has been hard at work at practice.
And we're going to go for about an hour today just to walk through their personnel and make sure we've got the plays that we're wanting to run against them for whatever Coach Ricker might throw at us. He does a really good job at tournament time of changing defenses around and trying to put something on you that you haven't seen from them before. So we're going to kind of prepare for a lot of different situations and hopefully have the girls ready to go.
Tip-off Thursday at Bath County High School is set for 6 p.m. The Morehead State University basketball teams are preparing for their final games of the regular season this week. Both teams split their contest last week. Most recently, the women's team got a victory over Tennessee State, 69-60. Head coach Greg Todd says the game also served as senior night for the Eagles.
Bree Jackson's a four-year player, played on three 20-win season teams, played in two NITs. This year, she's been probably our most valuable player, had an awesome year. Lala Humphreys had several double-doubles this year, young gal out of Chicago, and also Jaleesa Avery, who started a few games on last year's real strong team. She's been a starter every game for us this year.
The Eagles will take on Austin Peay on the road tomorrow night. The women's team is set to tip off at 6:30. For the first time since 2016, Morehead State women's golf claimed victory, sweeping the Oyster Shuck match play event Monday and Tuesday. WMKY's Joe Lewis has more.
The team championship is the first for the program since taking the crown at the Murray State Invitational during the 2015-2016 season. Entering the event as the number 2 overall seed, the Eagles strung together three consecutive victories en route to a team championship. Morehead State opened the event with a 5-0 sweep of number 7 seed Coastal Georgia before taking back-to-back matches in the semifinal and final rounds, defeating Radford and North Carolina A&T by identical scores of 3-2. The Eagles returned to the course in stroke play at the Spring Break Shootout in Dade City, Florida. The two-day event tees off from Lake Jovita Golf and Country Club on March 16th and 17th. For WMKY Sports, I'm Joe Lewis.
The Morehead State soccer team announced the addition of goalkeeper Michelle Jarentowski for its upcoming 2020 season. Jarentowski becomes an Eagle via transfer after spending two seasons at Jacksonville. The 5'5" keeper joins returners Grace Gaffney and Kayla Landman in the net for the upcoming 2020 season. While at Jacksonville, Jarentowski appeared in 5 games and tallied 35 saves. The goalkeeper's best performance in a Dolphins uniform came against the College of Charleston, as she registered a career-best 12 saves in 100 minutes of action. In joining the Eagles soccer program, she reunites with her former Soccer's FC Chicago teammate, Katie Kielabaska, who she teamed with to lead the club to a 2016 ECNL North American Cup championship. Jarentowski enrolled at Morehead State in the spring of this year and will immediately be eligible for competition. MSU soccer begins their spring 2020 schedule on March 7th against Marshall at 1 p.m. UPike Athletics has announced Ty Compton as the next head men's basketball coach. The 2020-21 season will be the first since 2006-07 season with a new head men's basketball coach after current coach Kelly Wells announced his decision to retire at the end of the current season. Compton, a native of Grundy, Virginia, is in his 11th season as an assistant coach for the University of Pikeville's men's basketball team this year. He has climbed his way up head coach Kelly Wells' coaching staff, first serving as a student assistant for 2 years from 2009 to 2011, before being elevated to assistant role prior to the 2011-12 season and the associate head coach role prior to the 2014-15 season. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Baseball opens their home schedule hosting Southern Illinois this weekend. Softball opens their home schedule hosting Dayton on March 11th. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Industrials fell again today, extending a sharp weekly decline as the 10-year Treasury yield traded at a record low amid concern over the coronavirus spreading even further. And the Dow Industrials finished with a loss of 123.77 at 26,957.59. The S&P 500 was down 11.82 at 3116.39. The NASDAQ Composite was up 15.16 at 8980.78. And, of course, most of your blue-chip stocks today were lower except for big tech. Disney was actually the worst-performing Dow stock, trading more than 3% lower after the CEO, Bob Iger, stepped down. And among other blue-chip stocks, ExxonMobil and Chevron both fell more than 2%. And, of course, energy has been under pressure and continued to be under pressure today as the energy sector plus utilities and real estate were the big losers in the S&P 500, with energy stocks dropping nearly 3%. Traders appear to be buying and selling stocks in volatile fashion after each new report concerning the coronavirus was released over the news wires. And, of course, now the big concern is not so much China, but the spread of the disease into places like South Korea and Iran. The 10-year Treasury yield slid to 1.3%, hitting an all-time low after hovering around 1.36% earlier in the day. And, of course, the drop in yields has the stock market very nervous as well. As many times, bond market strength can actually be a precursor to an actual recession. In the commodities markets, oil was once again under pressure, down 2.4%, finishing at $48.70 a barrel. Gold was down 0.7% at $1,641.30 an ounce. In Europe, stocks actually were pretty flat, with the Stock 600 index actually unchanged. And Asia saw most markets weak today, with the Nikkei down 0.8%, and the Shanghai Composite also down about 0.8%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was U.S. Bancorp down $1.06 at $49.66, Lowe's down $5.19 at $113.33, Delta Airlines down $1.31 at $49.58, Marathon Petroleum down 83 cents at $52.21, and Yum Brands was down 46 cents to finish at $97.49. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by-the-hour or per-game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457. Taking another look at your region's weather, tonight, 60% chance of rain and snow showers, cloudy with a low around 25. Thursday, cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high near 34. Thursday night, increasing clouds with a low around 25. Friday, 50% chance of rain and snow, mostly cloudy with a high near 38. Friday night, 40% chance of rain and snow, cloudy, then gradually becoming partly cloudy with a low around 21.
Taking a look at some events coming up around the region, the community is invited to a public forum and presentation by Laura White Brown, Mayor of Morehead, at 10 a.m. on Thursday, February 27th at the Morehead Conference Center.
The MSU Concert Choir is hosting a chili dinner and concert on Thursday, February 27th, that's tomorrow, at First Baptist Church in Morehead. Dinner begins at 5:30 p.m. and the concert is at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $10 for adults and $8 for students. Proceeds support tours by the MSU Concert Choir and Chamber Singers.
The Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg presents Kentucky native and country music legend John Conley in concert at 7 p.m. on Friday, February 28th. Tickets are priced from $38 to $65.
The Rowan County Caring and Sharing Alzheimer's Support Group will meet at 6 p.m. on Monday, March 2nd at the Rowan County Public Library. Caregivers of those with Alzheimer's or a related disorder are invited to attend. Attendees will receive education, support, and information about caregiving issues.
The community is invited to Dr. Seuss Night at the Rowan County Public Library, 6 to 7:30 p.m. on Monday, March 2nd. Designed for children ages 12 and under, there will be games, prizes, and refreshments.
MSU's Office of Career Services will host a spring career fair from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Wednesday, March 4th inside the Adrian Doran University Center at Morehead State University. Meet employers, receive information on graduate schools, find jobs, and internships. There is no cost to attend, and it's open to the community. More information at 783-2233.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Rachel Turner, Sarah Fashipe, Michael Green, Chaz Jenkins, Lori Likens, and Jonathan Burton. Nacogdoches Miller, WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Haley Hansen, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Sarah Mead. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.